Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I am Darren Karp here with John Thrasher. I'm fresh off my Coachella run. Yes, John. I hung out with David Archuleta. We made out. We have babies. I'm now pregnant with his kid. Oh, I didn't tell you.
That's my dream. What are you talking about?
You really want to be pregnant with David Archuleta's kid. I know that. You guys should listen to our NMR from a few days ago. If you're a patron on our Patreon, you can hear John honestly be pretty spiteful towards me, but then
I was spicy.
Severely change his tune.
Yeah.
It's like
because I got a gift.
What is it? Remember those like Sour Patch commercials? It's like first you're sour. Sweet.
And then there's sweet. Yeah, that's basically exactly what it was.
So you Sour Patch kid me.
That's fine.
This last NMR, because then I ended up getting you a gift and it was.
But don't tell anybody what it is.
Ever received. So you know, you changed your tune, but it's good to be back. I apologize that John wasn't on last week. We decided to put him in the corner because he was just an awful human being. And so I had to give him a little bit of time out to record. And John let me take it solo with my friend Sarah. So yeah, John, do you want to tell anyone why you just ditched us? Or you just don't want to do the podcast anymore? Interesting?
It's just, to be honest, the time changed and I couldn't make the actual new time, but that's fine. And you know what?
Job? What do you have, a life? Do you have friends?
I know, right? I was listening though. It's funny. I was excited because once I finished the edit of the episode, because I'm like listening when I'm editing, but like really, I kind of wait till it's finished and then I go and listen.
Which you did a great job. Thank you so much for editing.
You're welcome. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I was listening to it while I was putting together my new standing desk, by the way. So I've got a bigger situation.
I have a standing desk as well.
Yeah. I remember. I think, is it the same one you had in New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that. I never used it as a standing. That's where I got mine. And you know, I was putting it together and I was like really enjoying the conversation. I thought you guys did such a great job, you and Sarah. And shout out to Sarah. Sorry, Sarah, couldn't make it on the show. Hopefully we can be friends. But yeah, guys, go listen to that episode. I think that you guys both really dug into a lot of the like really intricate parts about like wrongful convictions, and even the jury pool conversation was interesting. And I think a lot of the conversation around stereotyping and like what makes a killer. Is it just how he looks, or is it something else? Is it just that he went in and out? You know, there's a lot of different things like that. So great
and
job.
She was
with
really
that.
Able to explain. Wanted to thank Sarah. She was able to explain to a layperson, as I like to call myself, just, you know, just certain things. Is it okay for cops to lie to people? You know, how often does that happen? Is that legal? Do they have to present evidence? You know, kind of what is an evidentiary hearing? And I think we can hear all these things and not really understand I mean, cops can lie to you. In fact, they're kind of trained to do that.
I was going to say they're trained to sometimes.
Even when I was talking about the addendum on an MR, and you guys should listen to that because there's a huge clarification for that episode. I talked to my DA friend kind of about how I say on our podcast that whenever a cop approaches you asking, hey, did you see that person go by? The only thing you need to say is I want a lawyer. Like
Need
to say those four words, don't answer it, don't even think it, just like you want to say I want a lawyer. And I think Sarah, kind of being a lawyer, reiterated that to me, that you definitely want to make sure that you have proper representation kind of at all steps of the game. So
you could tell she was just very seasoned and smart and knew exactly what she was talking about, which I really love that. I mean, most lawyers, of course, have to be, but it really came across. How did it feel doing it solo? I know at the very top of the episode, you're like, oh, I'm here just me today. This is interesting, or whatever you said.
Yeah, I can't remember a time that I've really done that.
I've done one or two interviews.
You've done them.
Over
You've
the years.
Done them.
Yeah.
Like with your friends and stuff like that. Like, you know, over Martinez and Murder.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple times.
Maybe there was one that I did solo, but.
Oh, that you
rare.
Did.
I think certainly for Shaken and Disturbed, this was my first solo venture. I love doing everything with you. So
I was
missing out. I think for a listener's perspective, just because it was an interview, it probably was a little bit easier to have it be
that's true.
And so for ease, I think that might have been a little, you know, certainly with Tim and Lance, which I thought we did a great job on. There's so many moving parts that you want to make sure that everyone's kind of getting their due, and that just requires a little bit more attention as opposed to this conversation like you and I have. So, but of course, I missed you, and I thought, you know, it wasn't as good without you.
Oh, well, thank you. I miss you too. It was such a good episode, though. I think it really worked out.
Thank
but
you.
Also, I want to mention, At least one of my friends, and maybe some other people that message me on Instagram. I haven't been going through my DMs as often, but I see that you guys are messaging me, so thank you. But one of my friends, I think it was Amanda, texted me, and she was like, "Hey, I noticed that you weren't on Shaken and Disturbed this week. Is everything okay?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yes, totally fine. Just handing the reins over for an interview to Darren this week." But
I
I
really wish you
appreciated
would
that
have
people
created
were
some
panicked.
drama. You'd have been like,
Oh, I should
yeah, we had
have.
such a falling out, and moving
Nah.
forward, we're gonna go every other week taking a case. You
And
know, like
Darren,
we should have created some
we should have manifest.
sexual tension
Yeah.
between us that it just like we had to get it all out there. But no,
I should have
you're
been like,
fine. You're
I should have
fine.
been like, no, I Darren fired me and stole the Instagram account, you know, or something like
Yes.
that.
Yeah, you should have done that. Or
Anyways.
Darren doesn't want me there anymore, but I
Right.
still have to edit and produce.
Right. And I'm still locked away in a cabinet. Yeah.
Just not allowed. So, missed opportunity by John to
Missed
really create and
opportunity.
stir things up here on Shaken and Disturbed. But, all
Anyways.
right, guys. So, before we get into this really old case, I just want to say that there's a little bit of, you know, harsh language. There's a little bit of harsh imagery that kind of takes place in this case. And I just wanted to give, especially parents out there, maybe just a touch of a heads up that we're going to be talking about some pretty gruesome shit up top. So just a little FYI.
Yeah, specifically connected to children. So if that's very triggering to you, maybe, you know, skip through some of this, but just want to give everyone a heads up at the top of the show.
Yeah, so the name at the top is Micajah, Micajah. We looked up how to pronounce this. Now, this is in Scotland in the 1700s, which I think is why we were a little bit taken aback. I mean, even today, that's kind of not your typical name. You know, Micah would probably be shortened for something like that. But back in the 1700s, you didn't hear. This is the case of
Yeah.
the Harp brothers, in case you've never heard of that. It's a somewhat famous case from certainly back then. But yeah, Micajah is how we're going to say that because I. According to Google pronunciation, that seems to be the correct way to do it. So,
That's right. We got to trust Google.
you got to trust Google. Micajah and Wiley Harp, that's Harp with an E at the end, were born in Scotland in the late 1700s. While most accounts call them brothers, they may have been cousins. Who
One of those
knows?
things, yeah.
Let me tell you something. If, because Nadine has this in her family, two brothers marry two sisters. So, her cousin is technically like her half brother.
Oh, that's a good
So
point. That
maybe with,
happens. Yeah.
you know, less people around, there were
Yeah.
marrying whatevers. And
That's true.
so who knows? But
Let me also
Maca
mention,
yeah.
shout out to my brethren of Scotland. That's where my
Oh
family
yes,
heritage
that
is
is where
all
the
Scottish.
Thrasher, those are where
Thrasher
the
family.
Thrashers
Yep.
come from. That is where
That's
you
right.
hail from.
That's right.
Just call you Macaja Thrasher.
There you go.
Jonathan Macaja Thrasher the Fifth.
By the
That
way,
sounds right.
would love the name Micajah over John.
Yeah, no.
John. Burp,
John
burp, burp.
Jonathan. We're on a
Jonathan. It's not,
Jonathan.
just so you know, it's not Jonathan. A lot of people think it's Jonathan. Nope. It's John. Anyway, who cares? Enough about me.
It's just John.
Imagine after 200 episodes, people don't know that. Go ahead, keep going.
I'm sure I forgot that it's
Yeah,
not
maybe you
Jonathan
did.
Thrasher, that it's just
Also,
John.
while we're on the topic, I also thought, in case anyone didn't know this, that Darren's last name was Carpenter for what, about 6 months of our friendship?
Oh yeah, no, they know
Yeah.
that. If
Oh, they
you're a
do.
new
Okay.
listener, yeah, they know that.
Yeah. All right.
So Micajah was born around 1768, and Wiley was born around 1770. And although they're
Old.
old, what are they, millennials? Gross.
Yeah, what's their gen name?
Although their parents moved the family from Scotland to North Carolina, which is a little bit of a change of pace, around the start of the American Revolution. They were staunch loyalists and raised their sons to also support the British crown. Kind of odd then that they'd move countries, considering they
Yeah.
were literally at the start of the revolution. I mean, that was
Yeah.
literally at the height. The kids would have been, what, like 7 or 6 years old when that would have happened. So,
That's right.
you
Yep.
know. Now, the revolution began in 1765 and lasted through 1783. By the time the brothers were in their teens, they had enlisted in loyalist gangs whose mission was to kill members of the Continental Army, rape their women, and destroy their property. Towards the end of the war, they were separated from their parents. It's kind of unclear how, you know, records were a little bit fuzzy back then. They may have returned to Scotland, they may have perished, or kind of a combination of the above. And the brothers were left with only each other. Now, the two young men decided to leave their home too by running away to join a group of Cherokees. They brought with them Susan and Betsy Roberts, two young local girls that they had kidnapped from their town. Makaja, Wiley, Susan, and Betsy lived in the Cherokees for anywhere from 2 to 13 years, which is kind of a huge
That's a
gap
big,
here.
Yeah.
Before the American army destroyed their village and they were forced to find another home. We kind of had these records back then of major milestones of ruining villages or whatever, but it's unclear how long people were kind of there beforehand because accounts either got destroyed or they were never created in the first place.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, do you remember learning about this stuff in high school? Like, we had American history, of course, in high school.
I remember the word Iroquois from fifth grade.
Oh my
Learning
gosh,
about
wow.
Like I just remember the word because it doesn't look like it's pronounced.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember
Yeah.
having a hard time.
You're like, wait, what's going on
So
here?
I remember my teacher teaching me that it was pronounced Iroquois.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I just think about, you know, like I remember learning it and like it was in my head, but like I really didn't start to kind of understand and I guess even like respect in a sense, like the intensity of the American Revolution in particular and like what it meant, especially to indigenous people in our in this land. You know, because you just kind of grow up hearing like Indians did this and this is what happened, but you don't really understand the like severity of like kind of what happened. I know there's that the new movie Killers at the Flower Moon that kind of covers a lot of things around
Yeah,
this.
that's the
And
Osage, and that's a true story, you know, of them stealing oil and murdering those people, and the rich, rich Osage. So yeah.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. And I think, especially in, as it pertains to true crime, it's an interesting way to kind of have context for, you know, for these types of stories. But nonetheless, in 1795, the four of them settled in Knox County, Tennessee, where they lived in a cabin near Beaver Creek and made a living breeding hogs. By the way, you can't get much more American than
I
that
would love to make a
sentence.
living breeding some hogs.
Breeding some hogs.
Some hogs.
Some hogs. In 1797, Wiley legally married a woman named Sarah Rice. The same year, Makaja married Susanna, the woman he'd kidnapped from his hometown. Okay, lots of shady stuff going on here in the late 1700s. Betsy stayed in their home and was shared by Makaja and Wiley. Kind of
And Su Su
disturbing.
we said Susan before. Susanna is obviously just the longer
Susanna,
name, but Susan, I'm
I'm
just
assuming
making sure
that's.
everyone knows. Yeah, yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm assuming those are the same people there. After only a few years of being settled in Knox County, the Harp's neighbors began to notice something strange. Their livestock seemed to go missing more and more frequently, and their barns burned down even more often. Oh, okay. Well, is that something, you know, more often? How often was this happening to begin with?
Yeah,
But
right.
it was hard not to notice, of course, that the Harp brothers seemed to be going to the butcher increasingly often, with more meat every time. So you don't have to really be a true crime sleuth to know that
It's a
this
little fried
is.
green tomatoes, the secret's in the sauce.
That's
That's
right.
what it.
Oh yeah, that's right. So the final straw came when one of the more affluent neighbors' well-bred horses vanished from the stable one night. And, you know, to these people, this was just unacceptable and would not stand to them. The neighbor gathered together a posse of people to find and capture the Harps, assuming it was all connected to them. The brothers were taken back to Knoxville jail and managed to escape before any punishment could be enacted, but were forced to leave their home. So, you know, so obviously the posse was able to find them. I guess they were sort of like convicted to some degree. Again, late 1700s. What's conviction? You know what I mean? People were thrown in jail with or without a conviction. But like I said, these guys were able to even to escape the situation. So, according to the wives, Sarah, Susanna, and Betsy, I guess there seems to be actually three people now connected here. This was the point where Makaja and Wiley, quote, declared war on all mankind, end
This
quote.
feels a little David Koresh of the
Oh,
Branch
yeah.
Davidians of just, you know,
Yes.
like all out war a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, the brothers were furious that a posse had been sent for them and began hunting for whomever had told the posse where they were. You know, they're like, hey, let us steal the livestock and take it to the butcher. You know, leave us alone over here. Well, when they found the man who they believed was to blame in a pub outside of town, they killed him, scooped out his entrails, and
Jesus.
filled his body with rocks, and then threw it in the river where it sank to the bottom. Now, that's one of the most grisly, disturbing kind of descriptions of a murder I think we may have ever even said on the show. Now, Bekaja Wiley and their wives then left town for good, headed to Kentucky via the Cumberland Gap, which I am familiar with being from Cumberland,
What
Maryland.
is a Cumberland Gap?
I think it's just like a valley that's in the Appalachian Mountains where you can
Okay.
sort of, yeah, it was like a travel valley for lack of a better term. I mean, I'm not
Why
being
is
scientific.
Cumberland such a popular? I mean, you're from Cumberland, Maryland, but I felt like we were also dealing with something from the Cumberland. Is
Another Cumberland
Cumberland
thing.
like a different,
Well,
like, is it
Cumberland,
named after something? Like,
it is. Yeah, I think it was named after a town in Britain, as most places actually are in the
sure.
United States, in the original colonies and eventually the United States. But yeah, I think it was just that. That's really
Huh.
all I know from it. I'm not a
Interesting.
Cumberland expert.
But it's in Appalachia.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Why don't you look
So
I'll look it up while you
Cumberland Gap. Yeah.
yeah,
So, you
Cumberland
know,
Gap.
they're headed for Kentucky via this Cumberland Gap. And on their way, they ran into three men, two men on their way from Maryland and a lone traveling salesman. The brothers murdered the salesman and robbed him of his wares. They also shot and robbed the two travelers from Maryland, splitting open one of their heads when he didn't die right away from the gunshot wound. Wow, these
Oh,
guys
great.
have just, they're, I guess they're
Wonderful
declaring
people.
war on all mankind, essentially.
Yeah.
But when the family arrived at an inn, they found themselves penniless. A helpful stranger named Stephen Langford offered to pay for the family's room and board for the night, but rather than simply just accept this, kindness, Macaja and Wiley began sizing up the man and trying to assess how much abundant coinage he might be carrying. These are not what I call long-term planners. They're sort of just short-term thinkers. They want that quick
Yeah.
fix. They're not thinking maybe to befriend this guy and, you know, get money from him that way and kind of use him. But no, they're not that would be good either. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now, the following day, the brothers convinced Stephen that he'd be safer traveling together with the family. After all, a group of six inherently has more protection from animals and thieves on the road than a
Right.
man alone. Okay,
Yeah,
maybe they are.
especially in this particular part of the country, you know, it's
Did you
very,
look up
very low.
Cumberland
I
Gap, by the
did,
way?
yes, and I was right. It says here, the Cumberland Gap is a pass in the eastern United States through the long ridge of the Cumberland Mountains within the Appalachian Mountains and near the tri point of Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee. Long used by Native American nations, the Cumberland Gap was brought to the attention of settlers in 1750. The path was used by a team of frontiersmen led by Daniel Boone, making it accessible to pioneers who used it to journey into the western frontiers of Kentucky and Tennessee. So,
Okay, so this
yes, it
is
was, yeah.
newly discovered by the time that they're kind of
Yeah.
doing this, 25 years roughly, give or take. Okay,
Because
so
by the way, it's easier to travel through a gap like this than it would be to, you know, travel up and down mountains
to
for
go
obvious
around, or
reasons. Yeah.
right, of course. Now, Stephen agreed to this lone guy, and the group set out together, this group of six. His body was discovered by cattle herders several days, cattle herders, ex excuse me, cattle
Yeah.
herders several days later, stripped of its valuables and money. Now, another posse was formed to track down the Harps once again, and the family was captured on Christmas Day of 1798 and sent to jail in Lincoln County, Kentucky. Once again, Macaja and Wiley escaped jail, but left their three pregnant wives behind. The women were eventually tried for Stephen's murder, and were found not guilty in April of 1799, but all three were held in custody long enough that they gave birth in jail.
Wow.
Gentlemen, these guys are gentlemen.
Yeah, such gentlemen. You also wonder, like, what their connection is specifically, you know, like, although they were found not guilty, you know, what exactly was their participation in all this? I guess, if anything, they
Well,
were
they were held captive. I
aiding.
mean, the only one that
Yeah,
wasn't
that's
held
true.
captive was the actual wife that he'd met. And I kind of wonder what she thought of that. I mean, again, different times, but I kind of do wonder that. Now,
Yeah, I
upon.
mean, that. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, that's so true. Like, we have to really think about the context here of it being 1799. I mean, it really is a
And
very
they're
different
seeing these guys
society.
kill people. I
Yeah.
mean, who knows? You know, I mean, it's hard to say, but. Upon their release, the wives were treated extremely well by the Lincoln community, who gave them enough money, supplies, even a horse to get to Knoxville and start new lives without these terrible brothers. But as soon as the women left town, they traded their new horse for a boat, which they used to travel down a nearby river to a prearranged meeting place and joined back up with the husbands. So, however guilty they are, it could be Stockholm Syndrome, could be a number of reasons, you know. Beaten wives go back to their husbands all the time. That doesn't mean that they're guilty of anything outside of maybe just emotional distress or feeling like they
Right.
need to. We don't really know, but we do know that given their chance for freedom, these women did not take it.
Yeah, and maybe there are certain resources or opportunities that they are content with potentially in that situation. But just not to really like lay into the history of this all, but I'm just thinking about like, this is 1799. America is 30 years old, the United States.
That's
Imagine like,
crazy, by
isn't
the
that, I
way. I
know,
mean,
like if
our
you
country
think,
itself, like in terms of the United States, not the land, the United States is actually a very, very young country.
totally. That's exactly what
Very
I was
young
just going to
country.
say. And imagine being, fresh out of like a generation before you that had to, that was like, fighting and going through the Revolutionary War and like the, I'm just trying to think of like the sociology that would be happening at this point. And like, you had mentioned them watching these guys kill people. Well, maybe that's not that crazy. In 2024, that's horrifying. You don't want to see that. But like, fresh
Right.
out of the American Revolution, it might be more commonplace than like we're kind of realizing. And that's what I was kind of touching on earlier too about the conviction versus just throwing people in jail. It's like maybe killing people just wasn't looked at the same in the same way that it would be today. I don't know. It's just interesting, these kind of historical cases and how they play out. But also,
Yeah.
yeah, like just
Yeah.
really quickly, like thinking about like imagine being you and me, like born into a world and our country is 30 years old. Like the country is 30 years old. It's such an interesting.
I know.
The United States is so interesting how quickly we went from a new country to the biggest superpower in the world. I mean, that's incredible.
There are reasons for that, like
Yeah, of
our
course. Good
Constitution
and
and
bad.
Declaration of
Yeah.
Independence, say what you will, but these are the
Yeah.
principles that our country is founded on. And it's the reason I think we're so successful, along with free market capitalism, even though it's limited. Obviously, I have a, I, ooh. I have a reason, I have my theories about that, pulling people out of poverty, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
It's
mean,
interesting, right? Just
this is
something to
why I get
think
a little
about.
upset when people are like, well, if this person's president, I'm leaving. I'm like, where are you going? There's no better country than this country right here. Where are you
Where are
going?
you heading, babe?
Where are you headed? Not saying that this country
Yeah.
is perfect, but like, where are you going? What
Yeah.
you
It's
doing?
just, yeah, just interesting context to think about there as we
Yes,
discuss the rest
absolutely.
of this
We're a
case.
young country. We're a young country.
Very young. Yeah. So the men's killing spree continued after meeting back up with their wives. First, they killed the 13-year-old son of a local
Jesus.
colonel so they could steal some flour and beans that he was carrying. They then dismembered a local fisherman, stuffed his body with rocks and threw it into the river. And of course, cherry on the on the cake here is that they stole his fish. So they're
Sure.
really, and it's interesting because it's like these things sound, again, I'm not trying to be like Mr. Historian here, but these are the types of things that were really important and valuable back then, like the beans, the flour, the fish, it's all stuff you can run down the street and get nowadays, but these were big commodities in the late 1700s. So on April 22nd, the governor of Kentucky placed a $300 bounty on the lives of each Harp brother. Again, $300, maybe Darren, you could look up
I'm
the
gonna look it up.
difference. Yeah.
$1,798. Yep.
Yep. And when the news of the bounty reached the family, they sought protection by joining another group of outlaws at the time operating in the area called the Mason Gang. However, their time with that gang was short-lived as the brothers proved too brutal and bloodthirsty for even those other criminals. I mean, yeah, imagine being like, hey, we're a gang, we're a group of outlaws, but you guys are too, you're too crazy for us, It's putting rocks in bodies and throwing them into the bottom of rivers is just one step too far for us. But do you have an update? You leaned in, so.
Yeah, $300 of $1,798 would be worth about $6,100 in
Oh,
2019. That's the
okay.
last like inflation calendar. So it's, over
Significant.
$6,000. Yeah,
Could
that's a
change
lot of
lives
money
in that
less
time.
than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the gang captured a boat, hoping to loot its contents, the brothers took hold of one of the boat's owners, stripped off his clothes, tied him up, and whipped him. They then
Jesus.
blindfolded the man, tied him to a horse, and chased them off the edge of a cliff. I mean, this is like torture and brutality, like nothing
These
we've ever
men have a
heard.
vendetta.
Something, yeah, for sure. Now, this was, like I said, just a little too much for the rest of this gang. The family was ousted from the group and continued on their way to Knoxville. I think maybe this gang of people, these outlaws, were like, they had their intentions, they had their motivations, they were maybe just trying to get by. they weren't trying to torture people, you know? I mean, that's a whole other level of brutality. So Mekaja and Wiley continued their murder spree through the summer of 1799, killing solo travelers they happened upon and stealing whatever they happened to have on them, often quite small quantities of food or possessions. I mean, these guys were basically like, we won't ask for it. We're just going to kill whoever we see in our path.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's ours. Right.
Yeah, it's ours. Yeah. Around this time, they began using the community's hunt for them as part of a tactic to lure in new victims. The family would pose as a posse who were out looking for the Hart brothers. When they came across small groups, they would gain their trust by inviting them to join their hunting party.
Hmm.
You know, they're none the wiser. There's no maybe like, you know, television or internet.
They
to
were
see.
Pretending to look for the people that are really them.
Yeah.
To gain people's trust.
Yeah. Be like, hey, have you heard about those people? Even
right.
though
have you seen John and Darren?
Yeah, they might fit the description, but maybe these people don't know anything. But nonetheless, they would eventually then kill them and then steal all of their valuables while their victims' guards were down. So very, you know, disgusting way to kind of kill somebody.
Yeah, horrible.
In one similar instance, the Harps came upon another set of brothers traveling together. This was Robert and James Brazel. The family asked the Brazels to join the hunt for the Hart brothers, and the group went into the woods to search. And you might know what happens next.
Well, in the woods, the family then turned on the Brazels, of course, accusing them of actually being the Hart brothers. This is the biggest, like, gaslit-y thing. Like,
manipulation to the fullest extent. Yes.
The family captured and tied up James, but Robert was able to get to his horse in time, outrun the family, and ride away for help. Robert rode out for 10 miles before finding someone to come back in the woods to help him and his brother. I don't know who would come back in the woods after 10 miles and be like, hey, can you come back and help me get these like killers? And
well, and then like, and to assume that like, you know, 10 more miles later traveling back, that they'd even be in the same space, the same,
exactly.
You know, that's tough.
Well, when they finally did return, they found that James unfortunately had been beaten and his throat had been slit. The same month, the Harps murdered at least another 14 people, a man named John Tully, another man named John Graves and his son, and the entire Triceward family, composed of at least 10 men, women, and children.
Wow.
Fucking A. I mean, talk about serial killers. I mean, these guys are
truly
prolific in that sense. The bodies of each victim were found stripped naked and just horribly tortured.
Mm.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, if these guys are poor and want to strip them of their stuff, like, okay, they're robbing these guys. Why the torture? Why the,
that's what I don't get.
Why the whipping and the, you know, engorge your insides and fill them with rocks? Like, why all this?
The only thing I can think is maybe it's some kind of power trip. Like, look what we can get away with. Look what we're able to do. Especially being brothers. Maybe there's even some kind of masculine energy here that's like, you know, let me show you what I can do. You know, I might be better than you. I might be more powerful than you. I mean, we don't have any of that kind of explanation or research here, but yeah, I mean, it's a particularly horrible way. And it's like over and over again. I mean, here's just as you just said, Darren, 14 more victims. I mean, what the
just
hell?
Just casually though, like a whole family.
Yeah.
And just stripped naked and tortured. That just seems just crazy. Now, the brothers also killed a young woman named Sarah McClendon by cutting off one of her legs, all of her toes on her remaining foot, then decapitating her.
Wow.
During the following month of August of 1799, Mekaja committed the only murder he came to regret, that of his own fucking infant.
A monster, truly.
When the baby cried too much and wasn't able to be silenced, Mekaja threw it against a nearby tree, later stating, well, it cried and I killed it. I had always told the women I would have no crying about me, end quote. Well, of course.
That's
now,
horrible.
While three of the Harp's children seem to have survived to adulthood miraculously, the rest were likely killed in similar ways for similar reasons.
Yeah, that's really horrible. The family continued traveling through Kentucky, sometimes touting themselves as a hunting posse, and sometimes disguised as preachers looking for hospitality from the community. So now they're like, you know, taking on whole new identities. And, you know, as Darren said, it's very gaslit-y. You know, I like that word.
It's very gaslit-y.
Yeah. One evening, they came upon a cabin belonging to a young family, and the lady of the house offered the traveling preachers that they tried to say that they were somewhere to stay for the night. By the way, the preacher's thing is interesting too, because now you're going to gain sympathy from people.
Well, and
1799.
who's not gonna let like a, I mean, I wouldn't, but who's not gonna let a preacher in? You know what I
Well, that's
mean?
what I mean. 1799, America was extremely religious at that point. So they're like, oh, come, let us help you. And I'm sure a lot of Americans at that point were thinking, maybe they'd get some sort of like religious blessing out of
Well,
doing
and
the
there's
help.
not news to be like, be on the lookout
Right.
for
That's what my,
these
yeah.
guys, you know?
Well, everything seemed to go smoothly until Macaja was unable to sleep due to his host snoring. So can you guess what happened? He killed him with a tomahawk.
Now, this is the only justified killing that I can see in this entire group, because if you're snoring, like people on
Listen.
planes, figure it out, especially, I hate to say it, a lot of overweight men, figure it the fuck out
It's true
who
though.
love to snore on a
Yeah.
plane. It's
Yeah.
just like, stop doing that. Like,
Let me tell you something.
figure
Now,
it out. Sleep upright. I don't know what to tell you.
on that note, last year I lost about 30 pounds. And I will say, I never snored, but I definitely could tell I was like, certain angles you fall asleep, it just has a different kind of effect. And I noticed my sleeping got a lot better. And I think that's
I'm sure it
the
did. Well,
reason. Yeah.
congratulations, by the way, the 30 pounds. I
Well,
didn't even, you look great. But you know, on
thanks.
planes,
Yeah.
it tends to be that. And I'm not
Yeah.
saying it's all overweight men. I'm just saying, like, it tends to be overweight
No,
men
it's true.
who do this, who just don't give a fuck. And I'm like, do you not realize that you're waking up the entire, like, people cannot sleep on this flight because you were just snoring away.
Sounds like
Crazy.
Darren sympathizes
And
with the killer here, you
my
guys.
dad snores, but if he's sitting
Yeah.
upright on a plane, he's not snoring, but he
Well,
does
there you
snore.
go.
If he's lying down, he's snoring. So like,
I know, and
I'm very sensitive about this.
I looked into this too, actually, because I noticed it myself, and there is something about the way like your glottal whatever in the back of your throat kind of flaps whenever you have a little bit more weight. Anyway, what I said,
Anyway,
derailing here a little bit,
just
but
don't, you know, like, I get wanting to kill people with a tomahawk if they're snoring, but maybe don't.
yeah, there you go. Well, tragically, some more really horrifying stuff here. The noise also woke the baby, which caused it to cry. And as you might expect, Macaja killed him too in order to stop the cries, followed by the infant's mother when she too began to scream. So this is like
Jesus.
next level kind of demonic bullshit that we're dealing with on this episode. The family burned down the cabin and the following day captured two other men and accused them of having committed the murders. They shot and killed two of them on sight, but the third escaped and made it back to town. Now, this was the final straw. The community was tired of living in fear of the Hart brothers, and by this point, it was abundantly clear that the law couldn't stop this killing spree. Now, remember, after all of these people are killed, it's not like news breaks right away and like they can maybe connect the dots. These people are getting killed, and then the family's moving on to another location.
Right.
Maybe days, months, or weeks later, the victims are being found. So, you're able to kind of go on a killing spree at this stage, at this point in history, because news isn't being communicated, I think, quickly enough.
Right.
Even like the descriptions of these people aren't being communicated. Now, the locals formed another, much larger posse this time and were able to apprehend the Harps for a third time. And while many of the accounts for the hunt for the Harp brothers differ, they seem to agree on one through line, which Darren is about to get to here.
Posse eventually caught up to the brothers. Wiley was able to escape, but Macaja was too slow and was captured by his hunters. Macaja was allegedly decapitated slowly by one of the
Wow.
posse. His last words were to his killer, "You're a goddamn rough butcher, but cut on and be damned." I mean,
What the hell are
okay,
we
I sort
dealing
of give
with
him credit
here?
for
My
keeping consistent.
God.
The
Yeah.
three wives were also captured, but once again set free and allowed to continue living their lives without their bloodthirsty husbands for the first time ever. Wiley escaped to Mississippi, where he learned that the bounty on his life had increased to $2,000, which was like a gigantic sum in the 1800s. I mean, if 300 was $6,000, then
Let's
2,000
see.
is what? Times it by seven, let's say. And, you know, you're getting
Fifty
what? $42,000
thousand.
essentially. Yep. Good
Listen, don't
job
ask me.
on
I
that.
already said this. Don't ask me to do math on this show. You know what I
But for
mean?
the, you know, for $42,000,
No,
Wiley
yeah.
obviously wanted to collect it.
Sure.
So, not wanting to fly solo, Wiley joined up with two other local outlaws and convinced one to help him murder the other and turn in his head to the sheriff as belonging to Wiley himself in exchange for the reward money. My God, However, when Wiley and his accomplice showed up with their victim's head, they were recognized by law enforcement and captured, which is actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, right.
Now, this was it for Wiley. He was tried and hanged in February of 1804.
Yeah, that last little part there, you have to assume at some point they're like, okay, who are these people? Like, can we get a description? Can we try to really figure out, you know, they're not
credit
creatures.
For the ingenuity of it, though, because there is no social media. You know, even when you look up, as I was just doing the Hart brothers online, like there's sketches and drawings and sort of renderings of what maybe locals, you know, claim that they look like. But there's less people around. You know, I think eventually people just caught on to it being who they were. But I'm glad that Wiley got caught eventually.
There you go.
So let us know what you guys think of this case at Carpe Darren, at Jerry Thrasher. Of course, you can go into our Patreon and comment there. You can comment. You got to smash that subscribe button. And then you comment below. You smash and you go below and you comment. And also on Shaken and Disturbed Podcast Fans page on Facebook.
There you go. All right. Let's get into some quick shout outs here.
Let's do it.
Rachel and my bestie Amanda, who I mentioned at the top of the show, both called out an old throwback moment that occurred to them this week. Rachel posted on Facebook, quote, "Has anyone watched What Jennifer Did on Netflix yet? I was sitting in my living room singing Lenford Crawford and laughing hysterically
Lanford
for 10
Crawford.
minutes. Brought me back to the good old days." By the way, I just want to tell Rachel, the good old days are now, Rachel. The good old days are now, you know?
Life is what happens when you're making other plans. Lanford
That's
Crawford.
Right.
I remember
That's
that
right.
So
throwback.
Well.
Yeah.
KT followed up in the comments saying, yes, watched it last night and gave my husband the Lenford Crawford routine. And he just gave me one of his looks and said, I'm assuming that's a podcast friend. Fair enough, KT. You are a podcast friend.
You are a podcast friend. That's right. And as Darren said, don't forget to watch this episode on YouTube, guys. Every week we post the full episode. Soon enough, we're going to be posting, you know, other videos eventually. But right now you can watch all of our most recent episodes right there on YouTube.
Yeah, if you want early access to our podcast and videos before anyone else, join us on Patreon for just as little as $5 a month. You can get behind the scenes exclusive content.
That's right. And you can get it even cheaper if you sign up annually, which we would really love if you can really
or
help
annually,
us out.
Which is also great. And that's cheaper than a sandwich at Panera, you guys. Come on now.
That's my association.
Broccoli ched soup in a bread bowl.
Let me tell you something. I went to Panera last week for dinner one night just because it was quick and cheap. Quick and easy. And I was like, I can just pop in really quickly. I got a U-Pick too. Here's my order. Frontega chicken sandwich and a bowl of broccoli cheddar soup. They were out of all of the sides. I bought a fountain ginger ale that was $3.50. I walked out of there with a tiny little sandwich. They didn't have the right bread. I was on sourdough bread. It was the size of my fist.
Oh, sourdough bread. Okay.
And I like it too, but I wanted my regular focaccia. Yeah. Walked out of there with a drink, a quarter of a sandwich, and the smallest bowl of broccoli cheddar soup you've ever seen, $19.58.
Yeah.
Guys, we've got to stop. Panera, you know, we used to say, what was it? Taco Bell, sponsor us. Panera, don't sponsor us, because I don't need that in my life. I don't need to be talking you guys up and then, you know, scamming
people
out of
their much.
Money.
It's
too much. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode, guys. Thanks so much for listening. As I said, every week, and I think it's really important, don't forget to take your vitamins.
And for me, I'm going to say don't snore, but also check your pits, especially if you have a penis. Yeah.
There you go. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.